Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, as we look into your word, we ask that you would bless your people, that you would raise us up, Father, as we seek to do your will. The desire of our heart, Father, is to praise you and to do your work and to do what you would have us do in these last days. We know, Father, that we have but a short time, and we ask that you would strengthen each and every one of us, that you would bless us with more of your Holy Spirit, that you would give us, Father, the strength we need to endure to the end, because we know it's going to be difficult. And it says in the Word that unless those days should have been shortened, then no flesh would be saved alive. So we know, Father, that you're going to protect your people. And we ask, Father, that you would cause us to understand that we don't have to know everything. You're going to give us, through the Holy Spirit, that which we need to witness to the governors and to the councils and to those that are persecuting us in these last days. So strengthen us, Father. Give us the stability and the Holy Spirit that we need to endure, because we know that that's your power to do any and everything. So again, Father, we thank you for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his great sacrifice in giving us an opportunity in life everlasting. Let us be faithful as we keep all of your commandments, Father, not picking and choosing, but keeping them all. So again, we thank you for the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah, and may we choose him as our lamb as Passover is soon coming, and therefore be set apart or sanctified for a holy purpose. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Are there 10 righteous? That's the title of this message. Our opening passage is going to be Genesis chapter 18. So if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 18, we're going to start there. That'll be our opening scripture. And Yahweh appeared unto him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood over against him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the earth and said, Sir, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. Let now a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And if I will bring a morsel of bread, and strengthen you your heart, after that you shall pass on, because you have come to your servant. It says in the beginning, in the first passage, this is a while consecutive, it starts the Hebraic phrase, and Yahweh. So it's saying that Yahweh appeared to Abram, to Abraham. And Abraham recognized that he was his servant. And he said in verse 5, because you have come to your servant. And they said, so do, as you have said. And Abraham hurried into his tent to Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and brought a calf and gave it unto the servant. And he hurried to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they ate. Now, this is a problem for the rabbinical interpretation of people, because they believe that you cannot eat milk and meat together. That's not kosher. And that's because they've misinterpreted it. Okay? Abraham was considered by Yahweh to be a righteous man. Why would he serve something that was not kosher? Obviously, it was acceptable, even though the rabbis would say, no, they would never eat milk and meat. But it says right here that he prepared it, and they ate it. Turn back to Genesis 15, verse 6. It says, and he believed in Yahweh, and he reckoned it to him for righteousness. So Yahweh recognized Abraham as being a righteous man. In verse 9, back in Genesis 18, it says, and they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you when the season comes round. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she had stopped having periods, okay? And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my master being old also? And Yahweh said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, will I really bear a child? Who am old? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? And that's the question I have before you today, brethren. Is there anything too hard for Yahweh? At the set time, I will return unto you when the season comes round, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And the men rose up from there. So they looked just like men, but these were angels. This is the angel of Yahweh, called Yahweh in the Old Testament, as well as two others, and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. In other words, he walked with them towards their goal, which was Sodom. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Since Abraham shall surely become a great nation and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him to the end that he may command his children and his household after him. And you know what? That can be a very difficult thing to do, especially today for us, because we try to raise our children right. Okay? And we try to teach them the things that they need to know. It says, that they may keep the way of Yahweh to do righteousness and justice to the end that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done everything according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And we know that the world has gotten worse. It hasn't gotten any better. It's gotten worse. And Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Is there anything too hard for Yahweh, brethren? Ask yourself the question, is anything too hard for Yahweh? The answer is no, because he can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. He can grant your heart's desire. But do we desire the right things? That's the question. I'm presently reading a book by Rabbi Harold Kushner entitled, When All You've Ever Wanted Isn't Enough. He's the author of When Bad Things Happen to Good People. He was kind of distraught after he had lost his 14-year-old son. And as a rabbi, he, you know, took it very hard. He didn't understand why Yahweh would do something like that to him. And he ended up searching it out and ended up writing a bestseller because he's expressing himself, but he came to terms with what was going on in his life. Most of us want the best for our families. But as hard as we try to teach them Yahweh's way, some seem to rebel against whatever we try to teach them. Okay? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22. It's Proverbs chapter 22, and we'll look at verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then drop down to verse 17. Incline your ear and the words of the wise, and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you, if they are established together on your lips, that your trust may be in Yahweh. I have made them known to you this day, even to you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge to make you to know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may carry back words of truth to them that send you? We have an obligation to take the words of truth back to those who have sent us, okay? We are the seed of the blessed. We are the seed of those that have accepted Yahshua as the servant of Yahweh. Turn to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, and we'll start in verse 4. It says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Doesn't matter how much money you have, when this thing falls apart, I don't care if you're rich or poor, if you're not a righteous individual, you're in trouble. Righteousness, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteous of the upright shall deliver them. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. So it's the keeping of the commandments. I had a conversation with a man last night, a Christian, till like 2:30 in the morning, who basically said we believe the same thing. And I was showing him scripture after scripture to show him that that's not true. And he believes he's going to heaven when he dies. And I showed him scripturally that that's not true. And in the end, I don't know. I believe he may have heard me, but we'll see. I invited him to join us today on the call for services because his mother-in-law is in the hospital as well. That's why I got to meet him. It says here, but the righteousness of the upright shall deliver, but the treacherous shall be taken in their own iniquity. When a wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of iniquity perishes. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked comes in his place. With his mouth, the lawless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the righteous be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessings of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. So we see here that it's the righteousness that is going to help us to overcome. King Solomon had everything a man could want. Everything. Yet, he was not satisfied. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. In the book, Harold Kushner reflects the book of Ecclesiastes because he said he read it as a young man in the search for meaning of his life. And he said when he was younger, he got a different interpretation from the book. And that happens because as you get older, things change. Your perception changes. The way you see things as you mature in life make a difference. You know, you become more mature and more settled. And in the book, he calls Ecclesiastes the most dangerous book in the Bible because of how different it is. And he doesn't give the ownership of the book to Solomon, but it talks about him being a king after David. And what it's entitled is Ecclesiastes, which means in Hebrew, the Koheleth, the assembler. And Solomon was just that. But when you read it, you understand that it is talking about Solomon. It says in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, verse 1, I said in my heart, come now, I will prove you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what does it? I searched in my heart how to cheer my flesh with wine, my heart yet guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what it was good for the sons of men, that they should do under heaven all the days of their life. This man was blessed with riches and honor, and he was the wisest man that ever lived, okay, with the exception of Joshua, I'll put it like that, okay. I made myself great works. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and parks. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made myself pools of water to water from them the forest where the trees were reared. I brought men servants and maid servants and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of herds and flocks above all that were before me in Jerusalem. I gathered also to myself silver and gold, and the treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got myself men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced because of all my labor. And this was my portion from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works of my hands had worked, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Now, like I said, most people strive in life for riches. They strive in life for some purpose, something to fulfill themselves. And this is something that the rabbi is writing about, because Rabbi Kushner was saying that when all you've ever wanted isn't enough, you're not complete. What completes man? Okay? What completes him? He writes in the book, it says, the question of whether life has meaning or whether our individual lives make any real difference is a religious question, not because it's about matters of belief or attendance at worship services, but because it is about ultimate values and ultimate concerns. It is religious because it is about what is left to deal with when you have learned everything there is to learn and solved all the problems that can be solved. Religion focuses on the difference between human beings and all other species, and on the search for a goal so significant that we make our lives significant by attaching ourselves to it. Most people that don't have Yahweh in their life are unfulfilled. They think they're happy, especially with things they have, but you know what happens with things? They get old. You know, and all these commercials out right now about technology. And it's real funny because they show you people buying a 4G phone or whatever, or 3D TV and a 4D. They see the sign for the next generation, you know. And it's real funny because it's like, man, I just bought that, and here the new one's out already. See, because you can never be satisfied. It says those who multiply silver to themselves are never going to be satisfied because they constantly going to want more and more and more. See? So back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 18. No, I mean verse 12. He says, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that comes after the king, even that which has been done long ago? Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as far as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head. The fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that one event happens to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happens to the fool, so will it happen even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then said I in my heart, that this also is vanity. For of the wise man, even as of the fool, there is no remembrance forever, since in the days to come all will have been long forgotten. And how does the wise man die? Even as the fool. So I hated life because the work that is worked under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and striving after the wind. And I hated all my labor that I labored under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man that shall be after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet will he rule over all my labor in which I have labored, and in which I have showed myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore, I turned about to cause my heart to despair concerning all the labor in which I had labored under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom and with knowledge and with skillfulness. Yet to a man that has not labored in it shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has a man of all his labor and of the striving of his heart, in which he labors under the sun, for all his days are but sorrows, and his travail is grief. Yes, even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat, drink, and make his soul enjoy the good in his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of Elohim. But who can eat, or who can have enjoyment more than I? For to the man that pleases him, Elohim gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he gives travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that pleases Elohim. This also is vanity and striving after wind. Solomon also wrote the book of Proverbs, which we're going to deal with as well. But right now, turn to Psalm 78:1. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. This is a Meshkiah of Asaph. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of Yahweh. What I said earlier is that we try to raise our children right and teach them the right way to go. We try to instill in them the law of Yahweh, because we want them to be blessed in their latter end. But like I said, when you're younger, you don't view things the same way as you do as you get older. Because as we get older, we take into consideration our mortality, see, especially when we're around relatives that are dying. I said something about this earlier, about marriage, when I was talking about that a while back. in a series of messages that I was doing, and I said something about Tyler Perry, how he had said in one of his latest plays that the ages between 45 and 55 up to 60 are very, very difficult times for married people. Because one, they have teenagers, and two, their parents are dying. And it puts a lot of stress on the relationship. So, you know, for people to stay together and to be able to get through these things, it's a badge of honor, you might say, because it's hard. It's very difficult and very stressful. But if you are secure in Yahweh, he can get you through it, see, because he gives you the strength and the power through his Holy Spirit to overcome a lot of these things that blow other people away. In verse 5, well, let's finish. I'm going to read the second part of verse 4. It says, "And his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony to Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." And that's our responsibility, brethren, to teach our children and our grandchildren. Because they're our children, too. They're our children's children, but they're still our children. Because it talks about making it known to our children that the generation to come might know them, even the children that should be born. So it's talking about who should arise and tell them to their children. So it's talking about beyond our children, okay? And it's important that they understand that they might set their hope in Elohim and not forget the works of El, but keep his commandments. That's the difference. We try to instill those commandments in our children and our grandchildren because we know they're right, see? And what happens is the world is trying to constantly pull in a different direction. And they're making excuses and saying, well, you know, that's the way you see it, but, you know, this is how we see it. Because we fell in love, we found this person over here, and they were raised this way, and it's okay. Okay? They didn't keep the commandments. They don't, you know, believe in Yahweh, but it tells us in John 4:22, which I'm just giving as a reference, don't turn there, salvation is of Yahudim, the worshiper of Yahweh, the Jews, Yehuda, okay? It's not from Muhammad. It's not from Buddha. It's not from Jesus. It's not from other pagan mighty one, okay? It's not from Allah. It's from Yahweh, see? Verse 8, "It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with El, the children of Ephraim being armed, carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of Elohim and refused to walk in his law. They forgot his doings and his wondrous works that he had showed them, marvelous things that he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime, also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. So they saw Yahweh, the angel of Yahweh, with them, just like Abraham did. Okay? But see, Abraham had a different reaction. They saw the miracles, yet they still mumbled and grumbled and complained and did not trust. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as out of the depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they went on still to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And they tempted El in their heart." And we can't do that, brethren. by asking food according to their desire. Like I said, we have to have the proper desire. Yes, they spoke against Elohim. They said, can El prepare a table in the wilderness? And I asked that question earlier. I said, is there anything too hard for Yahweh? And the answer still is no, because he can prepare a table in the wilderness. Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Will he provide flesh for his people? Therefore Yahweh heard and was angry, and a fire was kindled against Jacob. And anger also went up against Israel, because they believed not in Elohim and trusted not in his salvation. And that's the difference, brethren. We have to trust in Yahweh's salvation. We have to believe that Yahweh is going to teach us, provide for us, help us to overcome whatever comes our way. Turn back to Genesis chapter 18. Start in verse 22. It says, and the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before Yahweh. And Abraham drew near and said, will you consume the righteous with the wicked? If there are 50 righteous within the city, will you consume and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are there? That be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. That so the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Think about it, brethren. He's the judge of all the earth. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Yahweh said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the sovereign, who am but dust and ashes. So he's pleading now. Perhaps there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 40 and 5. And he spoke unto him yet again and said, if there be 40 found there, and he said, I will not destroy it for the 40's sake. And he said, oh, let not the sovereign be angry. Let me not try your patience. And I will speak, perhaps there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the sovereign. Perhaps there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the sovereign be angry, and I will speak yet once, but this once, perhaps 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And Yahweh went his way as soon as he had left off communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Shall not the judge of the earth do right, brethren? Yes, he will. Always do right. John chapter 5. Turn to John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 19. John 5:19. Yahshua therefore answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever things he does, these the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he will. For neither does the Father judge any man, but he has given all judgment to the Son. We have to understand that, brethren. Yahshua has all judgment. that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father that sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me has eternal life and comes not into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, he does. And yes, he will. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour comes, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and they shall hear, they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is a son of man. Marvel not at this, for the hour comes, in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. In my witnessing to this man last night, I showed him this passage. And he was thinking that when he died, he was going to heaven. I said, what purpose is there of a resurrection if you're going to be in heaven? I said, where does it say in the scriptures that you're going to be in heaven? And he searched it high and low but couldn't find it. But he said he knew it was there and he was going to show it to me and prove it to me, but he couldn't find it. See, because I told him, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom. The kingdom is coming to this earth. Proverbs chapter 23. That's Proverbs chapter 23. And we'll start in verse 22. It says, listen to your father that procreated you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he that fathers a wise child shall have joy in him. And that's what we want. We want our children to be righteous so that they will be able to enter the kingdom. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her that bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Yahweh is asking for our heart, that we would delight in his ways. And truly, we want to delight in Yahweh's ways. We want to be a part of his kingdom. And the way we can do that and be a part of the 10 righteous, okay? I mean, it's going to be a lot more than 10 because we're hoping to be a part of the 144,000. But I've entitled this because of that passage. If there's just 10, they would not be destroyed. And they were destroyed, Sodom and Gomorrah, because they couldn't find 10 righteous people. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. That's 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you in the sight of Yahweh and of the Messiah Yahshua, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust and will turn away their ears from the truth. That's important, brethren, because that time is happening now. And turn aside the fables. But you be sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being offered, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. From here onward, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Master, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. Do you love the appearing of Yahshua? It says, and not to me only, but also to all of them that have loved his appearing. Do you love the appearing of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Messiah? If we love Yahshua's appearing, we're going to do everything in our power to be faithful, brethren. Psalm 94. That's Psalm 94. O Yahweh, you, El, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Lift up yourself, you judge of the earth. Render to the proud their desert. Yahweh, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? They prate, they speak arrogantly. All the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Break in pieces your people, O Yahweh, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, Yah will not see, neither will Elohim of Jacob consider. Consider this, you brutish among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? Solomon showed us the difference. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastises the nation, shall not he correct? Even he that teaches man knowledge, Yahweh knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity and striving after wind. Blessed is the man whom you correct, O Yahweh, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. For judgment shall return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who shall rise up for me against the evildoers? Who shall stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? I hope with a resounding, we will, yes, each and every one of us. Unless Yahweh had been my help, my soul had soon dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slips, your loving kindness, O Yahweh, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of wickedness have partnership with you? We know the answer is no, which frames mischief in thy statute. They change the laws to please themselves. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But Yahweh has been my high tower and my Elohim, the rock of my refuge. And he has brought upon them their own iniquity and will cut them off in their own wickedness. Yahweh, our Elohim, will cut them off. Truly, there is a separation between those who serve Yahweh and those who serve him not. Back to Solomon. Solomon was a child of David, and David was special to Almighty Yahweh, as we must be special, brethren. What made him special was his love for Almighty Yahweh. We must share in this special relationship. Excuse me. The special bond and love he had by being faithful, even to death, as was David. David's name means beloved, and he was the shepherd of Yahweh's people. If we care for Yahweh's people like David, we will find ourselves in the kingdom of Yahweh when Yahshua returns. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Trying to get through this and paraphrase it, but I just, it's so much material. But I'm just going to finish with a couple more scriptures. But I got to get through 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Then Solomon in verse 1 spoke, Yahweh has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built you a house of habitation and a place for you to dwell in forever. And the king turned his face and blessed all the assembly of Israel. And all the assembly of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to David my father, and has with his hands fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be prince over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. But Yahweh said to David my father, Whereas it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son that shall come forth out of your loins. He shall build the house for my name. And Yahweh has performed his word that he spoke. For I have risen up in the room of David my father and sit on the throne of Israel, as Yahweh promised, and have built the house for the name of Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. And there have I set the ark, in which is the covenant of Yahweh, which he made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar, in verse 12, in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread forth his hand, for Solomon had made a bronze scaffold, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high. And he set it in the middle of the court, and he stood upon it and kneeled down upon his knees before all the assembly of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim like you in heaven or on earth, who keeps covenant and loving kindness with your servants, who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, that which you promised him. Yes, you spoke with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, keep with your servant David my father that which you have promised him, saying, There shall not fail you a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children take heed to their way. Walk in my law as you have walked before me. Now therefore, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, let your word be verified which you spoke to your servant David. But will Elohim in very deed dwell with men on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less the house which I have built. Yet you have you respect to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, O Yahweh, my Elohim, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be opened toward this house, day and night, even toward the place of which you have said that you would put your name there, to listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray toward this place, and listen to the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place. Yes, hear from your dwelling place, even from heaven, and when you hear, forgive. And then it goes in verse 22, if a man sins against his neighbor, and then in verse 24, if your people Israel shall be struck down before an enemy. In verse 28, if there is famine in the land, and if there is pestilence, or if there is blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillar. Verse 29, whatever prayer and supplication be made by any man, or by all your people Israel, who shall know every man his own plague and his own sorrow. And we do know, brethren, we know what we've done. We know our sins. Who who shall know every man his own plague and his own sorrow, and shall spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and forgive, and render to every man according to all his ways, whose heart you know. Truly, Yahweh knows what's on each and every one of our hearts, brethren. That's why we have to have a heart like David. For you, even you only, know the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear you, to walk in your ways so long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Brethren, we have a short time. We have to make it right. We have to do the right thing. We have to serve Yahweh with the zeal and with the blessings that Yahweh has given us. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, verse 20 to 23. It says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter end." See, as we get older, we get wiser, brethren. We think we know everything when we're young and we're kids. You know, we think we're very intelligent and we're smart. But you really don't know you don't know until you get older. You really don't know that you don't know until you start going through the trials and tribulations of life. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of Yahweh, that shall stand. That which makes a man to be desired is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of Yahweh tends to life, and he that has it shall remain satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. He shall not be visited with evil. Psalm 22. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to you. Let not kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. It will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor Yahweh with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vats shall overflow with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Yahweh loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. We love our children, so therefore we correct them. We teach them. Now turn over to Psalm 22, and this is a messianic passage, a psalm of David. My El, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my Elohim, I cry in the daytime, but you answered not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you did deliver them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, commit yourself to Yahweh, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, since he delights in him. But you are he that took me out of the womb. You made me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from the womb. You are my El since my mother bare me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. And you have brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. And these are Gentiles. I have a note here, Romans. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and upon my garments they cast lot. But be not you far off, O Yahweh, O my strength, hurry to help me. Deliver me, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. The power of the dog refers to the Gentiles. Save me from the lion's mouth, from Judah, and from the horns of the wild oxen, Ephraim and Manasseh. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the middle of the assembly, I will praise you. It was a sin to use the name of Yahweh in those days. They considered it blasphemy. The Jews still to this day don't like you using the name of Yahweh. I know I was selling real estate in Baltimore, where I am presently, when we lived here, and I was leaving my office in Towson going to the deli, a Jewish delicatessen across the street, and I had on my pin, my lapel pin with Yahweh and Yahshua's name, and I walked into the deli, and the proprietor saw it, and he just ripped his clothes and started to go berserk and, the ineffable name is not jewelry, you can't do this. And he was all upset and, you know, getting all worked up. And I was more concerned whether I should buy anything there because it was a Jewish deli and the man had pork. He was selling pork out of the Jewish deli. So, you know, he's trying to, it was just, it was baffling to me that he could be so concerned about the name of Yahweh as he thought it was being desecrated and it was being promoted. It was being taught. It was being shared. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the middle of the assembly, I will praise you. You that fear Yahweh, praise him, all you, the seed of Jacob. Glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you, the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard, O you, of you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise Yahweh that seek after him. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to Yahweh, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is Yahweh's, and he is the ruler over the nations. And that's all the nations, brethren, not just Israel. All the fat ones of the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he that cannot keep his soul alive, a seed shall serve him. It shall be told of Yahweh to the next generation that shall come and shall declare his righteousness to a people that shall be born, that he has done it. For truly, Yahweh has done it. Our closing passage is going to be John chapter 17. And this is a passage that we use a lot in Yahweh Philadelphia Truth Congregation. In John 1 it says, 17:1, these things spoke Yahshua, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. The hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he should give eternal life. So Yahshua gives eternal life to those whom he will. And this is life eternal, that they should know you, the only true Elohim, and him whom you did send, even Yahshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. What about us, brethren? Have we kept Yahweh's word? Now they know that all things, whatever you have given me, are from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from you. And they believe that you did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them, and I am no more in the world. And these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. We have to be one, brethren. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification means set apart for a holy purpose. As you did send me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. That's important, brethren, because there's a lot of error out there, a lot of people teaching false doctrine. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And we have to be one with Yahshua the Messiah, that they may all be one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you did send me and loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world knew you not, but I knew you, and these knew that you did send me, and I made known to them your name. Tell me, is not the name of Yahweh important? Absolutely. And will make it known that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Brethren, are there 10 righteous among us? I believe that we have enough righteous brethren to be saved out of this world. It's time for us to overcome this world. It's time for us to find our purpose in this life. See, we can't be like the rabbis of this world. Harold Kushner, it says, when all you've ever wanted isn't enough. We have enough because we have Yahshua the Messiah. They deny the Messiah. And see, Zechariah 12:10 says, they look upon him whom they have pierced. When Yahshua returns, are they going to stick him? Because they don't believe he's already come? He's been here already. We just read the prophecy in Psalm 22. It's there in Psalm 53. The word of Yahweh shows us that Yahshua has overcome this world. He has come. He has shed his blood that we would receive life everlasting, life eternal. Brethren, are there 10 righteous among us? My answer is yes. There are many more. And we're going to receive the kingdom when Yahshua returns. And may Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him and be righteous. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Willie McKelvey if he would close with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow. Father Yahweh, we pause on the Sabbath day to give you thanks and praise. We give you thanks for brothers on lack of precious faith. We give you thanks for the words that we've heard today. Help us to meditate and think on them, Father. Help us to always be mindful of your covenant and your laws. And Father, help us to always be as one as you and your Son is one, Father. Help us not to have the division among YPTC, but come together as a unit. And we ask, Father, that you bless the rest of the Sabbath day, to bless the ones again on the prayer list, Father. Be attentive to the prayers of the saints, Father, that you may intervene in their lives, that you will raise them up, Father, and strengthen them. And help us to all be mindful of the Passover season, to search our hearts and our minds. If there's anything that we have against a brother, let us go to that brother and let's talk and let's iron this out before the Passover season. Father, once again, we come before you and to give you thanks and praise for all things in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.